Is this real life?
Hey there, citizens of the world. Welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where our mission is to inspire, connect, and empower the world to learn English the fun, natural, and real life way.
We believe that English should not be a dry and boring school subject, but an inspiring and enriching lifestyle that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want.
In this podcast, you will have lots of fun, learn plenty of new expressions, and drastically improve your listening comprehension.
We'll also teach you the secrets of native pronunciation, connected speech, and help you tune in your listening and speaking to the rhythm and flow of English.
So sit back, relax, and let's get on with the show. Oh yeah, what is up? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, convenient, and
buzzing
way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us while you're stuck in traffic,
drinking Chilean wine,
avoiding your homework,
or playing the piano. I'm joined here today in the studio with the two guys whose 2 cents is worth $32 plus change. We have Justin and Ethan.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I didn't get it though. What does that mean?
Oh, you know when you say someone's 2 cents, like their 2 cents?
Oh, that's my 2 cents?
Yeah.
That's my opinion?
Exactly, yeah. Common expression in English, right? You say that in the US?
Yeah. Not that often.
No, but you know what it means, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, that's my humble opinion, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't want your 2 cents. Okay, so we're super excited today. This is our first podcast in the new official studio, right? In Chile, in Santiago. How are you guys feeling?
Pretty well.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I've drank some wine here.
Some Chilean wine?
A little bit buzzed.
What do you mean by buzzed?
It means that I'm in an altered state of consciousness.
Okay.
And not the kind that you get to when you meditate a lot, right?
Exactly. So it's maybe when you have a couple glasses of wine. It's not drunk.
So we're super excited here. Starting off the podcast again, we have a few changes in today's episode. But one thing that is going to stay the same is the shoutouts. So, like always, let's start off with today's shoutouts. You know you make me wanna
kick my heels up and down. Okay, we have another repeat member, Fluency Circle, who tends to turn up on our podcast from time to time. Remember the Fluency Circle Hall of Fame? This is from Claudio Ferreira.
Oh, Claudio.
The hair salon owner.
Yep.
Inspired a few episodes ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, 5-star review, labeled Super Duper. The guys behind the scenes, they discovered the special alchemy to turn English learning into a pleasant experience. It's everything you wanted to know about learning English, but ordinary teachers were afraid to let you know. I'm a great fan of yours.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much, Claudio. Really awesome to hear your nice words. It's very moving. Really awesome to also have you as a member of our Fluency Circle.
Of course. What does he mean by super duper?
Super duper is... Ethan?
It's kind of like the augmentive of super. If you want to make it even more super, you can say super duper because it rhymes.
Yeah.
And also, Cloud used the word alchemy. What does he mean by the alchemy?
Ethan, you're doing pretty well with the explanation, so let us know.
So alchemy is kind of like an invented sort of science that I believe uses kind of symbols and some magic, but it kind of blends with chemistry.
Yeah, so they actually like blend metals together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of okay. Like they take impure metals and make them into gold.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's the objective, right?
Like the Alchemist.
Yeah, The Alchemist. Really great book, by the way. Brazilian, Paulo Coelho.
Famous author.
Yeah.
Sure. So he's pretty much saying that we can turn things into gold. Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Claudio. We always appreciate your feedback and also...
your support.
Support, yeah. He's obviously, like we mentioned, he's actually given us some good ideas for previous podcasts. So things that we want to learn about specific subjects, just let us know, like Claudia did. And we could and probably will make a podcast about that. Any more love coming our way, Justin? Any more shout-outs?
Yes, I have another one from Budianto from France. Oh, yeah. I think he means oh, yeah.
Okay, how did he spell it?
With an O.
Okay, so listeners out there know we spell Aya, A-W-W, yeah.
It's a very common occurrence, but
it is.
Oh yeah, this real life English is so surreal. Each time I listen to you, I feel as if I lived in an English-speaking country. I've been listening to this podcast for 1 month and it's addictive. Terima kasih. Indonesian expression to say thank you.
Oh, I think I might have to correct you here and say that it's pronounced terima kasih, as I took an Indonesian class in high school.
Well, thanks for that, Chad.
Yeah, no problem.
Terima kasih, Budianto.
Oh, yeah. Terima kasih as well.
Awesome feedback.
So, obviously, he's an Indonesian living in France.
Sure. And just when he says addicted, what's another word for addicted? I think maybe someone here wrote an article about that word.
Hooked.
Hooked. Oh. Awesome. Thanks for that shout out, Budianto. And as you can see, he got hooked or he got addicted in just 1 month. I'm sure that if you guys haven't already signed up to our mailing list, you should do that now, where you will receive 60 free podcasts. That means you could get hooked maybe for 2 months.
And we have over 80. So really, if you want to go on the Real Life English Marathon, really create a habit, which actually takes 66 days, according to the scientists.
Hey, that keeps it increasing. I thought it was 30 days.
Well, scientists are evolving their theory.
Okay.
No, but I think it's like you can build a habit, basically, but to really, really make it stable and rooted, it takes 66 days.
What do you mean by rooted?
To have roots, to have like...
What's a root?
I don't know. You tell me, Mr. Vocabulary.
So like roots are like the base of a plant that go into the ground, keep it stable, hooked to the ground. So you can use this metaphorically to say that you have a very stable base in something.
So 30 days is good. 30-day challenge we really recommend, but 66 days is a permanent part of your life.
Oh, yeah. So we want to try to make sure you guys get that boost with your English and reach English fluency. So we definitely recommend you sign up to our mailing list if you haven't already.
60 free podcasts, and we might actually up that pretty soon.
We might. Okay, guys, so thanks a lot for all your shout-outs and all your love. We really appreciate it. Don't forget, we love getting these shout-outs, and if you wanted to help us with our Stitcher or iTunes ranking, please give us some love, and we'd really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it's time to move on to today's random news story, but I believe we're not actually going to do a random news story because that is one of the changes that we're going to make in today's podcast. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the name of this new segment?
Since we're going through a lot of changes here, new location, new lifestyle here in Chile, it's time for a little bit of change in this podcast. So time for some kick-ass quotes.
Oh yeah. And for those of you who didn't know, I wrote an article about this. Kick-ass. What does kick-ass mean, Mr. Vocabulary?
Is that like my new nickname on the show?
You're doing a great job explaining things. So.
Come on, Mr. Vocabulary.
So kick-ass means that something is really awesome, but you have to be kind of careful and use this around your friends because it's not such a formal term, being that it has ass.
Hopefully this quote is going to kick ass, so let's jump into it.
I'm kick-ass.
Alright, Mr. Vocabulary. What do you got for us today for the kick-ass quote?
Alright, so got a pretty awesome quote, very inspirational, from a very good American named Michael Jordan. So the quote is, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed.
Pretty powerful stuff.
That's nice. Yeah.
There's actually a Nike commercial attached to this, link in the show notes, and in the power lesson as well.
Mm. Sure. Oh, yeah. So what does shots mean in this case?
So a shot is just an attempt to score.
So we can say like a shot also is like take another shot, right?
Have another go.
Yeah.
Try again.
Nice shot.
But okay, so let's philosophize about this a little bit. What is he trying to say, and how is this relevant to English learning, and what can our listeners gain from today's kick-ass quote?
So I think the last line says it perfectly. He's first talking about all the mistakes he's made. So Everyone thinks of Michael Jordan as a very iconic basketball figure, like maybe almost as being someone who's a perfect basketball player. Who's
best of the best.
The best of the best, a winner through and through. And so he's talking, someone who's this successful, is talking about all of his failures, everything that he's done wrong throughout his career.
Because he's not famous for missing shots. He's famous for, like, getting shots, right?
Exactly.
So it's funny hearing him say how many times he's actually failed.
Yeah.
It's because he's tried.
Exactly.
So he says in the very end, I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed. So we see this a lot of real life English, that making mistakes is crucial to reaching a higher level of fluency. And I believe I've had a lot of students who I've had to kind of teach this who are very scared of making mistakes in their speaking. They want to speak perfectly. And if they can't speak perfectly, they don't want to speak. But it's really important to make a lot of mistakes if you want to improve as a learner.
It's kind of like, I've written articles about this, talked about this before, but like the child learning how to walk, who's like, I'm not going to walk because I'm going to wait until I learn how to walk first before I walk.
Yeah.
When in reality, we all know this, a child needs to like stand up and fall.
Learn how to fall before you can learn how to walk.
And that's resilience, right?
Sure. What is resilience?
Resilience is the capacity to fall down and get back up and not be so damaged by that experience.
And so I think that it's very easy to think that maybe someone like Michael Jordan is perfect, but he makes mistakes just like the rest of us. And had Michael Jordan spent all of his time just studying basketball theory and never actually playing basketball, he would not have been the all-star that he was.
Or the best player ever.
The best basketball player ever.
He's definitely, I think, like, I'm not a basketball fan. In Australia, we don't really get that much American basketball, you know, information unless you like really follow that and try to get all of that. So Michael Jordan for us was like the iconic figure of basketball.
Well, he changed the game and he really took it global, maybe?
Probably he did. He was more famous for his like his slam dunks, right? That guy could fly.
What's a slam dunk?
Slam dunk is when you obviously hold the basketball in your hand and you like jump and you actually like place it into the ring with your hand. So you don't like shoot it, you actually like jump so high that you actually just like slam it in there.
Exactly.
Which is very hard to do.
Well, hopefully you guys will be slam dunking with your English fluency just like Michael Jordan could slam dunk.
By making a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, by making a lot of mistakes. And obviously being resilient and learning from those mistakes and becoming better every time.
And surround yourself with people who support that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. So that was today's kick-ass quote. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We hope you guys can somehow implement this with your English learning. And this is a new segment of the show. I think it's pretty cool. I liked it.
Yeah. Let us know what you think.
And if you guys have any quotes which you think have been really inspiring in your English learning, we'd love to hear about it. And you can either send us a personal message or leave a comment on the show notes of this episode, which is reallifeglobal.com/holidays. Just leave us a comment on the post. That's it for the kick-ass quote. Let's move on to today's conversation topic.
What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about?
Oh, yeah. So today's conversation topic is all about the season, to be jolly. I guess there's a lot of stuff happening at the end of the year. We are approaching the end of 2014. And we've been making some big changes here. And it's a time to... It's a very celebrative time of the year, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's going on in the US? There's some of you, a lot of holidays, a lot of things happening.
So we had Halloween a couple weeks ago, which is one of my favorite American holidays. It's not quite celebrated the same anywhere else in the world.
I think Halloween's become quite globalized though, right? I mean, we do know the concept and some people do celebrate it in Australia.
But it's not the same.
It's not the same?
No. Well, I don't know. I haven't been to Australia, but...
Me neither, because I've never been to the U.S.
But it's really awesome party in the U.S., wouldn't you agree, Justin?
Yeah, it's a huge party. I think they have correlates in other countries as well.
Correlates? What are correlates?
Maybe days that have similar roots. For example, Day of the Dead in Mexico and in Brazil as well. Probably here in Chile, right?
But I think Halloween in the US, so far as a party day, has kind of evolved a lot to be a little bit more like Carnival than it is like Day of the Dead.
Okay, well, what happens in the US? What is Halloween all about? What are the roots? What do people do there? Why is it so cool?
Okay, so like when we're adults, it's just a big party day where we get to dress up as anything you want. I think in a lot of other countries, because of the roots of Halloween being a day that's kind of celebratory of the dead, the traditional thing would be to dress up as something scary. But in the US nowadays, you dress up as whatever you want. So you can be a skeleton, you could be a zombie, but you could be a princess or a fairy or...
Have you ever dressed up as a princess or a fairy?
No.
A lot of guys dress up as girls, I see.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a common Brazilian carnival thing too. A lot of guys dress up as girls.
I've also seen some couples kind of, you know, switch sexes. So the girl will actually dress up as a guy,
mm-hmm.
and the guy as a girl.
Sure.
Pretty funny.
Just so our listeners know, to dress up, what does that mean exactly?
So to dress up is to wear a costume, to put on something to kind of disguise yourself.
Yeah.
Or to pretend to be someone else.
Like a, you said a costume, maybe another word for that could be fancy dress. Like in Australia, we say a fancy dress party.
I believe that's like in the UK as well. But in the US, I think fancy dress sounds kind of funny, doesn't it?
Well, it's interesting because you say fancy dress, but to dress up actually means to dress up in nice clothing too.
Yeah.
As well, yeah.
But we wouldn't say fancy dress because fancy for us is nice clothing.
Yeah.
Fancy dress is like actual nice, like a formal clothing, do you mean?
Yeah, so if you said, I'm going to dress up for a fancy dress party, we're really going to think, an American would think, it's actually a formal event.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. That's a big difference there. So that's Halloween, people dress up. Is that something you guys do or have done a lot growing up? Did you guys do that? Did you dress up?
So, Justin, what do we do when we're kids in the U.S. on Halloween? Because we don't go to parties.
We go trick-or-treating.
And what is trick-or-treating?
Trick-or-treat is like when you go to people's doors and you say trick-or-treat and they give you candy. Okay, so there you have it. Trick-or-treat, Halloween costumes, dressing up.
Mm-hmm. Dressing up versus to dress up, which is to wear formal clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to another holiday. We have Halloween. What else is coming up at the end of the year?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, that's very American. I think that's the only country that actually celebrates this, right?
So other countries celebrate Thanksgiving as well, but at least as far as I know, we celebrated it when I was in Germany, for example, but we didn't celebrate it the same way as we do in the US. There was just a day for gratitude and maybe with a more religious connotation.
What's a typical Thanksgiving in the US? How do you celebrate that there?
So when I was growing up, it would basically be a day where my mother was in the kitchen cooking the entire day, and me and my brother would usually help her by helping her cook some other dishes. And then in the evening, we would just have dinner with the entire family.
So it's a family thing.
Exactly, yeah. Maybe have some friends over as well. And before eating, we'd give gratitude. We go kind of around in a circle and say what we're grateful for. So like maybe say, you know, grateful for your family, for your health, for your wealth, or anything else that you're thankful for.
Sure.
So it's a big family holiday, but from an external perspective as well, you look at it and it sort of marks the beginning of the holiday season.
Okay.
It's cool in some sense because it's like just a big meal and it's not... Christmas, I think, is kind of corrupted by consumerism.
Maybe Thanksgiving as well.
But it's not as bad because it's just about the food. It's about the food and seeing your family. But the next day...
What about Black Friday?
It's Black Friday.
Yeah.
Black Friday, what the hell is that?
What's the story behind Black Friday?
So Black Friday is the biggest day for sales in the United States. So pretty much all the stores nowadays, even online stores, will do huge sales on that day.
Oh, it's related to buying stuff.
Yeah,
this is actually a Brazilian holiday too.
Oh, really?
They've adopted it now.
Didn't know that.
So you can get really great deals, but a lot of people will even stand in lines for hours, like maybe get in line at midnight on Thanksgiving, to wait for a store to open on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, which is the third Thursday of November, to get really great deals on stuff before they sell out. People have gotten trampled before.
Trampled? What does trampled mean?
So trample, another way to say this would be run over, but it's where people basically walk or run over another person, and they can get trampled to death or just greatly
injured.
To death?
People have died?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's horrible.
You guys don't have holidays like this where people are trampled to death?
No, we don't have that in Australia. This is definitely new to me, Black Friday.
But you don't have something like Black Friday, or a day that's really popular for shopping?
No, I've never heard of that before. Sounds very foreign to me.
So then moving into the Christmas season, 'tis the season, right?
Yeah, well, it's funny you mention that because in Australia we don't have, you know, we don't really celebrate Halloween. Maybe now it's getting more popular because it's been very commercialized, this holiday.
And Americanized like the rest of the world.
Exactly. And Thanksgiving we don't celebrate at all. But because of that, Christmas tends to start even earlier. I think that the sale of Christmas stuff is kind of like maybe even like October, you start seeing like Christmas trees in shops and, you know, the inflatable Santa Clauses and that kind of stuff.
So how do you celebrate Christmas in Australia without any snow?
In general, people celebrate it with their family, whether they're religious or not. It's more of a time of, like you mentioned, being grateful of stuff, probably being grateful of your family, people that you love.
This is a good point to note, really, because it's like Christmas is a very secular holiday in the United States for most people, and I think probably for Australia too, right?
Yeah. Well, what do you mean by secular, first of all?
Secular means not associated with religion.
Sure.
I think it's getting that way in most parts of the world now.
Or at least even though it's Christmas, from Christ, the birthday of Jesus, right, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a day where families come together and they just, it's sort of like Thanksgiving in that sense. They exchange gifts and just share
yeah.
the special moments.
And I think because of all this eating, after New Year's, a lot of people have resolutions to kind of go on diets.
Sure, definitely. Well, I mean, like in Australia, I don't come from a very religious family, so I never had any religious connection to Christmas. So for me, it was just a time to give gifts to my friends, my family, my loved ones, celebrate that time of the year, because everyone's on holiday generally. You know, people have at least a couple of days or sometimes even a week or two off work. So people are on holidays, people are going down to the beach, surfing.
What's the difference between on holiday and a holiday?
On holiday, well, in Australia, I think, I'm not sure if it's the same in the UK, in British English, but
yeah, it is.
It is. Mm-hmm. So we don't really use this word vacation. That seems very American to me. So I'd say on holidays would be like on vacation. So you have time off work or time off your studies or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a holiday would be like a public holiday. Like Christmas is a holiday. It's a public holiday.
Okay. So, and do you often see reindeer in Australia on Christmas?
Reindeer? I don't even know if that's an actual animal, but I think
it's an actual animal.
It is an actual animal?
Okay. It just doesn't exist in Australia.
Okay.
It exists in snowy countries.
Do kangaroos draw Santa's sleigh in Australia?
No, they don't. We don't have... I mean, we have the exact same concept as Santa Claus. I know what a reindeer is, but I wasn't actually sure if that was a real animal, because we don't have that in Australia, and apparently their noses light up.
That's
red.
No, that's Rudolph.
Oh, that's not real?
No, that's Rudolph. It's one. That's one reindeer. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
He's special.
Oh, it's just that unique.
Had a very shiny nose.
And if you ever saw him, you would even say it glows.
Then one shiny Christmas Eve,
Santa came to say,
Rudolph with your nose so bright,
won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Okay. So, we don't have kangaroos that pull Santa's sleigh.
There's no kangaroo with a red nose?
No.
So fucking disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, we just have the same concept of Santa Claus as you guys. It's just been kind of passed on through Coca-Cola, I believe, invented Santa Claus.
No.
No?
This is a whole other episode, I think. We'll just wait a couple of weeks. We'll do a Christmas episode.
Okay, yeah. Maybe we can explain that whole conspiracy about Coca-Cola inventing Santa Claus and that whole holiday, right? So that's the Australian Christmas, pretty much just time to be a family. We do eat a lot. It's definitely a time to eat. The shops close on that day, so everyone's always at home with the family, chilling out, drinking a beer, and just eating a lot, shitload of food. Obviously, it's a lot of meat, generally.
Yeah, for us too. It's very traditional Christmas ham.
That's one thing I won't be doing this Christmas. That's eating a Christmas ham.
Yeah.
As I've become vegetarian this year.
And we're all actually vegetarian. And so we've been cooking vegetarian meals here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Justin just made us a lovely vegetarian lentils with vegetables.
It was very good, Justin. Thank you for that.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. You guys have been cooking some nice food too.
So just to quickly finish this off, I know we've been rambling a little bit here, but what about the American Christmas? I know people are probably very familiar with this through media, as I have learned a lot about American culture through TV and movies, but would you just enlighten us with your own personal opinion about that?
Well, I would guess, being that I'm from Colorado, Justin's from Washington, we're both kind of grew up on a white Christmas. Would that be correct for you?
Sometimes. It rains a lot in Washington, but sometimes we had snow.
Okay, so you know white Christmas, white resembles the snow.
Exactly. But for me, it's very like traditional kind of Christmas was to maybe during the day go skiing, even.
Okay.
And obviously around Christmas time, to see the houses completely done up with lights.
Oh, the whole like light shows and stuff like that.
Exactly. And they even nowadays they do tours, so you can go on a tour and they'll take you to all the best houses in the town, the ones that have the best lights. But
yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, we just thought we would make an episode about this holiday season. As you know, the end of the year is filled with these. It's a very, very cool time of the year. I enjoy the end of the year. I like the kind of vibe that goes with it. It's very family. It's very togetherness kind of vibe. I'm not
what
sure.
Do you mean
if
the vibe here?
Vibe is the energy, that kind of
the vibration.
The
vibration, yeah. Definitely brings people together a lot.
And people like to think that in the US it's just a commercial holiday, but for me it's the same. It's like just a time to be really with family.
Sure. And we're here stuck in Chile with no family, just us three.
My family's coming for Christmas.
Oh.
And your girlfriend's coming.
Your girlfriend's coming for Christmas.
She is, yeah.
Kind of like family.
Okay, sure. Okay. Hey, I'm just putting that out there.
I think I'm just going to hang out with your girlfriend and your family probably.
All right. So, happy end of the year to everyone. And hope you guys got a lot of information from this conversation topic. Let's quickly move on to today's awesome super duper question.
Well, it's more like a tip today.
Okay. Well, let's move on to today's awesome super duper question / more like a tip.
Just the tip.
Just the tip. I need somebody. Justin, I believe you had a super duper tip for us today. Something very relevant, especially for Fluency Circle members. They know a lot about this subject because they get the power lessons, which have a lot of insight into this kind of tip, which is all related to pronunciation.
And connected speech.
And connected speech.
Because as most of you guys know, we don't actually speak the way that you learn in school or the way that we write. We actually cut our words. We shrink them and we link them. This is called connected speech.
Yeah, and I believe that happens in many other languages, which is something that I'm experiencing right now with Chilean Spanish.
Yeah. A common way that you might see this in English, you've probably heard this before, is instead of saying, do you want to go, we just say, want to go. And so, Justin, we have a really good example of some connected speech and reduction in English here. What is it?
So just listening to myself speak here today, I just realized that we don't actually say let's go. We might say let's go, let's go.
So what's the difference there between let's go and what you're saying?
Let's go, let's go. So. And so the le is actually pretty much reduced to let's go.
So just to help our listeners out, we want to just say that a little bit slower so they kind of really hear the sound that we're actually making. Obviously, we never say it slow because this whole concept of connected speech is something that is based on how fast we say the word, which is why it gets reduced like that. But
definitely,
we want to just like repeat that sound a couple of times so they can kind of maybe at home or wherever they listen to this, they can maybe copy that and try to really ingrain that into their pronunciation.
Yeah, so this happens a lot with words when the first word ends in a TS. So let's go over that one we just did again. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go.
And so we'll probably put this on the power lesson. We actually do some Anki vocabulary files. And this is a program which helps you systematically learn these words. And Ethan actually has been making pronunciation files for these.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll give you a chance to imitate this pronunciation, study the vocabulary.
And hear it both slow and fast.
Yeah. So let's go to the next one.
All right, so oh, nice. The next one, you might hear a lot, what's up? What does what's up mean, Chad?
What's up can mean like, hey, what have you been doing? What's new?
So we might reduce that what's up to sup. Sup, Justin?
Not much.
Okay, so we got let's go, and what's up, is there any more examples you can give our listeners?
Maybe like with it is, which is a contraction it's, and also that is, and the contraction is that's. It ends in that TS again.
Okay.
Right? So it's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Okay, say that just a little bit slower.
It's a great idea.
Okay, so what you're actually saying there is that is a great idea. One more time with connected speech.
It's a boy.
Oh, change it up a little bit there.
So if, you know, you have a friend that has a brother or sister that has a new baby, right?
Okay.
It's a boy.
Like, it is a boy. The
yeah.
new baby
yeah.
is a male.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, awesome.
So, it's a great idea. It's a boy.
Yeah.
And so, you said also sometimes this happens with it is a, it is a. How does
it,
that reduce?
That is a, is, and it is a. So it is a. So for example, the way we say to finish something, right? We're done. It's a wrap.
Oh, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
It's a wrap today.
Cool.
So to wrap up this podcast.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
So it's a wrap. Let's finish this bad boy up. And today, in spirit of holidays and the end of the year, and although it's not Christmas yet, it is slowly approaching. So I thought we'd play you guys out with a little bit of a Christmas carol. And today's Christmas carol is going to be an old school song by Elvis Presley. And the song is called Blue Christmas.
And if they want to learn more about the song, Chad, where should they go?
Well, we'll link in the show notes of this podcast an article which I wrote several Christmases ago, which is...
Always sharing your articles, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm always talking about my articles, right? So this article is all about learning English with music with this song, Blue Christmas by Elvis, and also mentions some colors and how they represent emotions in English. So that's it for today. Hope you guys do have a great end of the year and have some cherished moments with family members all around the world. Whatever you guys are doing, do it with style, and you'll be hearing from us, like always, next week on Real Life Radio.
Oh yeah.
Happy holidays.
Oh yeah.
Start falling. Blue, 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 blue Christmas.